but there was nobody there.
That's funny.
This is Jon Snow, Lieutenant Driver of the USS Grissom, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
All the tears I've cried. A fiddler plays by the alleyway. This moon-drunk gaze cannot be denied. He said, I know what you're looking for. You are everything I need. So take my hand, let go your plans. We will see where fortune leads. I've lived a million lives beneath vermilion skies. Come, let's break free from this pale charade. Your joy is what remains. Let's reach beyond the gate. Still we are not lost when the nightmare fades.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at Sharon Knight's album Portals. This is brought to us by Ariel Hyatt of Cyper PR. So we thank Ariel and Sharon for letting us listen to the album and sharing our thoughts with them. And this album was brought out March 2016, so it's not too old. It's just this last year. And we're going to hit highlights, and we're going to have a midsection because this is a full album. It does have 12 songs on it. This one is primarily with the Portals album, is how she, Sharon, brings herself to the genre, is a Celtic musician. Mm-hmm. And for the bulk of this album, that's what it is. I have some songs on here where I kind of scratch my head and like, well, that's not quite Celtic, but it works. So nothing against what she's doing, because I still liked the songs, but it just kind of had a different feel to them, and we'll get into those as we go through the songs. But we came in with Crimson Masquerade, which to me, and even the second one, Porcelain Princess, had those massive epic feels to it, like it would be in a big epic fantasy movie.
Yeah,
and that's what I enjoyed about those.
I mean, like, you know, for me, Celtic is, you know, not so upbeat, but I actually enjoyed it because it, throughout this whole album, like, it had nice, solid beats. It was upbeaty. And there were a few songs that you could actually tap your toes to or bob your head or do a little jig in your seat. I mean, it's not music per se that, you know, if it was at a club or something, I wouldn't be getting up to dance. Oh, but, no. Like, it was enough to catch your attention.
True, and she's purely playing for her audience. You know, this is for like a Renaissance fair.
Right, I got that. Like, there was one song where I was just like, you know, if, and it was the last song, I believe.
That would have been No Long Night. It was the last song.
Yeah. Is that the one where she goes that Ice King puts his hand on the sword? Or
I don't know about that. I don't know that one. You told me about, you heard that in one of the songs. You were wondering if it was referencing to Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
it fit to that show,
like,
real easy.
I could see, you know, if they had that type of show where they would do like a music piece where
the montage,
the montage, that thing where, you know, nobody spoke but you could hear music, and it was just like, I could see that, like, I could visualize that in,
like,
the Game of Thrones
singing in the, like, the two hobbits singing in the Lord of the Rings. I think that was the second one, and the dwarves songs in the Hobbit movies.
Well, they actually sang the songs, but we're talking about how the music would be playing in the background, and you'd have, like, somebody in training, somebody's training, or stuff like that, and you're doing like you're squeezing like in several weeks of training into a couple of minutes of a montage, mm-hmm. and then, you know, so something like that.
You know, like how in CSI they have like music playing while they're looking at like through the microscope and stuff like that.
Sometimes,
and there's no montages, words or anything like that.
You mainly get them in movies during training scenes, mm-hmm. stuff like that, or. You know, if they're practicing, if you're in a sports film, they're practicing for the event.
Or when a cast member dies, show's cast.
Yep.
Yeah. They kind of give images of the person who passed away and kind of, or just the main characters kind of standing over their graves and you're gone. We still make money. So I got you. Breaking the fourth wall there.
Well, the one I was thinking of was a ship, so it works.
Wow.
One Piece did that with the Merry-Go, I think was the ship's name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Will they lose their ship?
At one point.
Spoilers! I didn't know about that. Wow. Okay.
Well, how do you think they got the Sunny? They had to let go of the merry-go.
Okay. So I haven't read a whole lot of One Piece or seen much of the anime. Slippers of Rose was a piece that was slowed it down, brought it back, said this is your ballad. This is where you're kind of like the slower song. But Celtic music isn't necessarily slow, though. We know that.
Johnny Jump Up.
There's bar songs, too, there in the Celtic scene. So you do, but this one's more what you were looking at, I think, was more the ballads than... The epic ones like we just talked about, that's definitely probably more what people think about when they think of Celtic music.
Right.
But yeah, when you get into the whole genre and have a couple albums like Logan has, it's a wide range. There's sped up beats as well.
Right.
And stuff like that.
One thing that's common is generally there's some sort of story to it.
Yeah. They always have some type of story.
Yeah. Azure, I think, is a plus, so yay.
Yep. Yeah, we like the story songs. So I'll have to give
Charlie
you that.
Charlie Daniels, too.
Yeah.
Charlie Daniels. Which, one of the songs had the guitar part.
The riff.
Went through it. Yep.
Yep.
Fit one of the Charlie Daniels songs perfectly.
Yep, pretty good. And we'll get into that when we come to it. It's the 11th song. We got a little bit of time before we get there. But we'll kind of show an example. And it's called Trail of Prayer. And we'll kind of give an example of that one and kind of talk about how or where I recognized it from. But the next one on here, the fourth song, is Whisper Your Name, and we'll be featuring that kind of midway through the episode here, but we're not quite at the midway point. It's more of, to me, it had a folk sound at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that's upbeat.
Yep, it like is.
You said. It has a little bit of a dark overtone to it as well, though.
Yeah.
And you get some of the Scottish feel to it, because I'm pretty sure it has some bagpipes in there. But when we play it here in a couple of mentions, we'll see if that's true. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure there's bagpipes because I put it in my notes.
I actually can't remember that one that well.
But I enjoyed this one. The next one I also enjoyed, but this one had a very unique flair to it. It's Scent of Your Skin, and we're actually going to leave out on this one just to kind of give you a variety of her skills. But it's actually the fifth song, Scent of Your Skin, and it has a rock beat mix to it. Huh. Has a heavy bass, and then almost at the same time, Jonathan said to me, and it's in my notes, it has kind of like an Arabian feel to it.
Yeah.
And when you hear it, when we leave out, I'll mention it again, and you'll definitely hear it right at the very beginning.
It's right at the very beginning. I was like, you know, if they, they have made a show on this, but that was a long time ago, but they had, if they were ever to remake it, and have the Arabian Night show back on, then I could hear this.
It could fit.
It would fit perfectly for it. Because when I was a kid, I believe it was a show on ABC. And they had 1001 Arabian Nights. And
it's possible. It seems like I remember something like that, but it's been too long.
It was like this.
Just short stories.
Yeah, this queen was abducted by this king, and he made her read stories. And I guess the show got canceled or something, because whenever I went to go look for it again, because I was watching it, whenever I went to go look for it again, it was gone. But mind you, I was a little kid watching this, so...
And there are TV shows like that. They last for a season and sometimes not even a season, and they get canceled. So you never know about some of those things. Some of them just last two seasons and they're gone. You think it's a shorter period too.
Just hope they don't end it on the cliffhanger.
True. There's some that do that too. You just have to make up your own story after that.
Because wasn't Bones like that?
I don't know. We haven't seen the end of Bones.
I thought that was the one we actually finished.
Nope. Not yet.
Oh, Castle. That's it.
Castle we haven't finished yet either.
It was one of those.
The one with the drove around the little blue Citroen or whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Mentalist.
Yeah, that's it.
That's probably the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, it is.
It kind of left you, you know, they're basically getting married, but
what's going to happen afterward? That murderer that has a grudge against them infiltrating the area.
True. So, yeah, there are some that end in cliffhangers. I won't lie to you. Especially the ones sometimes that end in one season. Because they think, oh, we'll leave a cliffhanger, so they have to renew us. And it's like, they don't have to.
No, but you're going to leave your viewers going, what the hell?
Yeah. That is true. But the scent of your skin, like I said, we're going to leave that on. This is one, because of that Arabian feel, it's a faster beat, a little bit livelier beat. This is one where Jonathan was saying you get a little jig in your pants. You just kind of, your body wants to move to the music. And
Rich over here being a belly dancer.
Yep. I'm not quite that flat, though. I got my roller going. the sixth one, this is one that was not one of my favorites. It's all right, but it got a little repetitive.
Is that the one I was going to say? Is that Mulacena. The one that got
Mulacena?
Yeah, that.
And it's over for and over me, and over.
Like it was repetitive.
Mulacena?
Mulacina. But it went by so fast that you didn't really hear the LU that much.
Yeah, I kept on hearing Medicina. Kind of like
that's what I heard.
Very accented or odd way of saying medicine.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Well, actually, Medicina is medicine in Spanish. But anyway, it was too muddled for me. Like, it was repetitive, but, like, I couldn't understand what she was saying. No. That's the only thing that I could understand what she was saying was that one word. And then the other one was just, like, too muddled. I don't know if she was focused on saying that word or the music kind of...
Well, it's a person's name.
Right.
So I'm sure it's talking about some man's love, Mulacena, or some girl's love, woman's love. Go ahead.
The words were muddled. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it was the music going over it or if she was just saying it too fast, but I didn't quite get a love song out of it.
Well, I don't know if it was a love song or not. I want to say it's more of a, like a lost love, maybe? You can kind of call it a love song, too, I guess, but it's like a lost love. It's like the person's gone away, and they're pining for them is what I got from it.
It could be that, too, but...
But, yeah, this is...
The words, so you can't...
You can't tell for sure.
But, yeah, this is one that had a decent beat, but it just got a little too repetitive for me. Some people will enjoy it. Some of the muddleness don't bother people, and if it's, and for me it's the good beat, so I can go along with it.
Yeah,
it was just the repetition of Mulacena.
I did enjoy the beat to it, but sometimes I don't know, for me the lyrics make it or break it.
Well, for some people it does.
Yeah, and that's, I'm one of the people who are like that.
Go ahead.
For me not to be able to understand it, it kind of broke it a little bit. But the beat was there for sure. And
for me, generally, either the lyrics or the beat can make it, but it takes a very hard time for either one to break it. So, I might be a bit more forgiving because either one of those can make it, but it takes a fair bit of annoyance on part of it for either of them to break it.
And I'm that way with most of my media. I mean, I'll do that as well. I'm not as harsh as a critic because, as you've heard, if everybody goes back and listens to some of the other stuff, especially the movie stuff, I'm more relaxed with my movies than some of the other hosts here.
No comment.
All the comments.
But the music, I've always said in the past and others, and just mentioned it again real fast, it's the music that hits me first, and then the lyrics are the cherry on top. So that's what I listen to the most, is the music and the beats.
Well, and see, with the lyrics, I think it's because I'm a writer in some aspects. So when I'm working, like, I imagine lyrics are just like, you know, sitting down typing out words. And
As we found out, not all the times. Remember that Rock of Ages show? I think it was Aerosmith or one of them that, for their lyrics, they would just write down words and they would pull them out of the hat.
Wow.
And then string them together. And that's how they did some of their songs. Wow. No conscious thought, just random. Whatever was
pulled out. See, that's talent right there.
If they can make it work, and they made it work quite a few
times.
That's
similar to one of the... I can't remember what it was. What is it called? I can't remember anymore. Both me and April were part of it at one point in time. And
forensics? It's
that.
Right.
That's one of those. IDA.
Yep. Yeah, IDA. Yep.
That's true. That is true. Well, we're going to take a short break here since we're halfway through the songs of the 12-song album. We're going to go back to the fourth song, which is Whisper Your Name. So here we go. Sharon Knight from her album Portals. So again, this is one that has a little bit of an upbeat feel to it. And yep. Logan, you mentioned while we were listening to it, you had a mention you wanted to say.
Yeah, that first bit, along with whatever else, it's also, if I remember correctly, almost exactly the same to part of the bit in Painted Black.
Okay.
Painted Black.
Yes, Painted Black.
What is Painted Black?
A song.
Okay. I don't know if I've even heard that one, or I don't recall
no.
it right off the top of my head.
It's one of the older rock songs, if I remember correctly.
I guess we're going to have to YouTube it after we get done.
Yeah, we might have to.
If I remember correctly, that's where I remember that pattern from.
Okay. It's possible. Like I said, there, and they always say, you know, there's only so many chords. So once you hit those chords, yeah, you're going to get a little bit of repetition. But that was one that was a little bit more upbeat, but... We're going to go back into the songs here. For the seventh song, it's called Slipped Away, and it's purely an instrumental song.
Mm.
It's one of the only instrumental songs on the album, and to me it had a gypsy sound to it. So she's branching off to different cultures, even though she's primarily Celtic. So it's kind of one of those unique deals where, you know, she's playing with different things. The eighth song is Let the Waters Rise. And this is one that I kind of liked, and parts of it, again, was kind of fuzzy to me, because at the very beginning, they try to make her sound like she's way off in the distance, and it almost makes it sound auto-tuned. And I'm not a big fan of auto-tuning, and it might not be what she's doing, but it just had a similar element to it. And I know they were trying to get that distance feel, when they do that in songs, and that, and that's always been, that's tricky when you're doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of the song, she comes back in and she's on the full mic, and it's a little bit slower as well. Mm-hmm. So you get that ballad feel. Let's see.
Which one is the Arthurian one again?
That's the next one.
I thought it was coming up.
Yeah, what Logan's talking about with the Arthurian.
Arthurian, or...
Yeah, how are you pronouncing it? It's author's legend.
Arthurian.
It is Song for a Savior. And right within the chorus, it, you know, it mentions the sword and the stone.
Mm-hmm.
It mentions,
and the return of the king.
Yeah, return of the king. And, yeah, and, you know, Jonathan picked up, you know, the cape, you know, because Arthur usually wore the red cape on his armor.
And see, this... So,
not Superman, Jonathan. Yeah, sorry.
I know. It could be Thor, too. It could always be Thor.
Yeah. But you like Superman.
Yeah, that's true. But this one actually hit home to me because, like I said, I'm trying to actually get a novel completed. And so, like, listening to this one just kind of hit home for me right away because, you know, it's talking about some of these biggest novels. So when I listened to it, I was just kind of like, oh, cool. And, of course, I was working on my novel when I was listening to this. Yeah. So...
And this is, you're trying to steal the author's legend for your novel? No.
I might be.
Oh, we got that on recording, guys. Uh-oh. Ruby-Doo's going to come get you.
Bad Scooby-Doo. Sit. Sit. No pizza for you.
But this is another one I don't really classify as Celtic. It's English.
Or Gaelic.
I'm going to say, you know.
Yeah, it depends.
Anglo. It's Anglo, you know, it's yeah. English. Because there's a very distinct difference between Anglo-Saxon and Celtic. And even the music has a little bit different feel. And this one, to me, had a little bit of that Anglo-Saxon feel.
So as long as there's no Spanglish, we're good.
Spanglish is a great restaurant.
I said Spanglish.
I have no clue about that movie, so I don't really care.
No, Spanglish, mixture of Spanish.
It's a combination.
It's like, hey, didn't they did have a movie about that.
They did.
It was titled that. You're right. I forgot about that until just now. Wasn't it Adam Sandler, I think?
Yes.
Oh, I have no clue about that movie other than that it exists.
Right over my head there for a moment. The next one after Song for a Savior is called Conjurer. And this is another one that has an upbeat feel, mm-hmm. and it has a folk feel to it, to me again, and a rock feel.
For me, it was another one that was kind of muddled. I couldn't understand what she was saying.
Well, just going by how it fell, for some reason, every time I listen to it, doesn't matter if it's because it is what this is meant to be or not, because it's coming after Song of a Savior, which is about Arthur. Then you have Conjurer.
Merlin.
It's just the natural progression. So that's what no matter what, when I hear this coming up, it's Merlin. Right. And whether that's intentional or not, I am not sure. Well, I could also tell have you.
Been going for Morgana.
Yes, Morgana. True. Morgana. But I think of Merlin because of Arthur, yeah, sure. Merlin, hand in hand. So Alpha to the Sunset. No.
That's pretty much the same exact reaction the other way, too. So.
But
am I getting the name wrong, though?
What? Morgana?
Yeah, that was the witch from...
Yeah, that's it's Morgana.
Yeah.
And there's also Nimue, if I remember correctly. So.
Who?
Nimue.
I don't know.
One of the names for the lady in the lake, I think, but I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm a bit more fuzzy on that name.
Yeah, you got me on that.
I know it's from Arthurian legend. I think it was the lady of the lake's name in some versions.
Okay. It might be. I don't know.
Well, it could have been Nifdora.
True. Names can be tricky things.
Yeah.
True. As long as it wasn't Tonks. That one went right over your head, didn't it, Logan?
I know what you're talking about. I just haven't
known. I was over here. I wasn't listening. Sorry. The next one is Trail of Prayer. It's the 11th song that we kind of mentioned earlier where Logan referenced CDB or Charlie's Daniels Band. And we're going to play a little bit of the opening. Because right away I said it felt like it had a Western feel, and then while we listened to it more times, towards the end of the opening, before she goes into the lyrics, it has a it kind of has a bright feel, then it gets darker, and then it drops darker again, and it has
that one bit that's almost straight from Charlie Daniels.
And you'll hear it, and we'll also mention it when we come back.
Does a bit of recurrence in the song, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, further on in the song, it reoccurs again. But here's the opening of Trail of Prayer. We got Logan humming, but we're back after listening to the intro Trail of Prayer. Like I said, this starts out, just has a Western feel to me. And the reason we mentioned CDB is that he has a couple of songs. One of them is my favorite one, and Logan has them, but he kind of gets a little dark in some songs. Logan's, tell me if I'm wrong, is Devil Went Down to Georgia is one of Logan's favorite songs.
Yeah.
My favorite song for CDB is Legend of Woolly Swamp. And that's where I got this, where we trailed off at the end of that opening. It was do 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 dum. Right. And in Legend of Woolly Swamp, at the end of the chorus part, and it has a similar riff in that.
And I'm pretty sure it has it at the very beginning of the song, too. But I'm
it
not sure.
Might, but that's fuzzy. I remember it at the end of the chorus when we listened to it. So that one. It's country, but this song is a little bit darker because of those feels. And so this one, because of the callback to CDB, I just naturally gravitated to this one. So I had fun with it. The last song that she has on the album, the 12th song, is No Long Night. There's another one that to me had a folk pop feel to it. I think, Jonathan, you said it had more of a rock feel to it, maybe?
That's the one I was saying that was like the Game of Thrones.
Okay, yeah. Now I remember you. Okay, got you now. I wasn't registering earlier when we were talking about it in the podcast, but got you now. But this one's different because when you've listened to all of her other songs, and we've only played a few here, but she's in a higher register, and No Long Night, she drops down a register, and she doesn't go any higher. She stays in that lower register. So that... To me, for a singer to be able to do that and mute herself when she's used to singing a little bit higher, she's either used to switching back and forth easily or she's just that good that she can do it, doesn't matter. But to me, because she's in that lower register, her voice has a smoky quality to it. And it was interesting to me to hear that difference with that because all the other songs, she's in a higher register and just powerful. Belting it out, where this one's a little bit more muted and just a lower register. You guys can comment on anything else if you think anything different than what I did. I know that was just my feelings about that specific song. Chirp, 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 chirp.
I'm pretty sure one of my comments was mainly because I would listen to the thing as background for reading and then listen to it again and wouldn't realize when something had looped it back or actually gone to a different song last night.
Okay. But
for a while, I thought that a few of her songs had the same music background for a bit, but I think that was just not realizing when the actual breaks between songs were and it being an hour long without actually telling you when.
Yeah, the way we listened to this was there were breaks, but it was a continuous stream, so we couldn't jump around with just a continuous long stream of music. So, but you kind of made a point though when you said background music while you were reading, and I could see this being great background music if you're reading a fantasy novel or something like that, and would just fit.
Jonathan mentioned the Game of Thrones one, so
right, Game of Thrones. A lot of her songs would be comfortable within that genre of movies or TV series, definitely. But, yeah, like you said, even just reading as background music for that, I could see that really easily. Definitely, there are definitely ones that I enjoyed more than others. But as a whole, this was a well-constructed album. I don't know, like I said, I don't know if you could claim it as a pure Celtic album because she does dive into some of the different cultures. But I enjoyed that. It was kind of neat to hear some of that stuff. It almost had a steampunk feel because she went to the different cultures. Because sometimes they'll dive into different cultures and not stay with any particular one. So in that regards, I can see that.
Most of the steampunk ones I've listened to actually were story songs as well. So
True. Well, it's time for our tweets. We usually get mostly tweets here, so this is our tweet section. And we also sometimes get some Facebook posts and emails, but primarily from the tweets. The first one is from Anush. We did a write-up for her single Get to You, and she just wanted to say thanks to Comic Pop Library for the write-up. And you know I love Belinda Carlisle, because I referenced her to her sounding a lot like Belinda Carlisle's 1990s type music, and with this single Get to You, and she really appreciated that. So we really appreciate Anusha letting us listen to that and, you know, comment on it. We enjoyed it. We enjoy all the musicians that send music our way. So thank you very much, guys. For our next one, we got a mention in an article, which was kind of a surprise. Ray Tessie, not too long ago, was interviewed for TrekFanProductions.com. And towards the end of the interview, when I got down to reading the end of it, because we are friends with Ray, so I try to keep up with what he's doing. But the interviewer asked him what other types of stuff he likes to listen to or watch, to include podcasts or stuff on YouTube. His answer was quite a lot, meaning that he listens to quite a lot of podcasts and watch YouTube stuff. But then he went on and said, engage Comic Pop Library quite often. So that was really cool of Ray to give us a shout out in that interview. And like I said, you can find that on TrekFanProductions.com. It is the interview, Starship Republic interview, Ray Tessie. So go and check that out. And also, if you want to support them, their Indiegogo for the show, Starship Republic. So if you want to help them out that way, they'd be glad to have your support. Back to the stuff at hand. We've been listening to Sharon Knight, which is a perfect name for Celtic music, I have to admit. But we've been listening to her album Portals. It was brought to us by Arrow Hyatt from Cyper PR, and it was came out on March 2016. You can go to her website at SharonKnight.net, and like I said, we'll have links to that in our show notes, but it's Sharon Knight, her name, all in one word, and Knight is spelled with a K, like a knight in shining armor, .net, so make sure you get that ending prefix right. But you can purchase her albums there, and you can download for $10, or this album, you can actually get a compact disc for $16. The disc includes a full-color 16-page lyric book, so that's something you can also get. So that's kind of neat that she's gone to the lengths of actually producing a physical album and also putting in a lyric booklet. So that's kind of cool of her to do that. So this one would be one that if you wanted to put it with you in your libraries, it'd be cool. You'd have your physical album there. If you're at a public library, you can check it out. Celtic music is gaining in popularity. I know it's still kind of, you know, specific audience still, but it is gaining in popularity because some of the fantasy shows that are out there. And this is one where definitely could see it being played in, like we said, movies of fantasy, reading fantasy books as background, but also we mentioned at Renaissance fairs. So you can put this on as you're driving to the Renaissance fair and get in the mood for it. You can have fun with that. So if you're out there, pick up her album, Portals. I think you'll enjoy it. She also has other albums that you can purchase on her website as well if you want to look at those. We're going to leave out with her fifth single of the album, Scent of Your Skin, and this one is again had that Arabian feel to it, and you'll catch it right when it opens up. So enjoy Scent of Your Skin. We've been having fun here. We hope everybody's had fun out there listening to us. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.